You would take your Bibles this morning and go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Today's Sunday, July 23rd, 2023. We're going to begin in Ephesians, chapter 3. I was originally planning to teach Ephesians 4 today, but as I was working it, I thought, well, I think maybe it would be a good idea to do a little review and refresh our minds on the topic of the mystery. So we're going to look at Ephesians 4 next week, but this morning we're going to do a little review on the mystery. And I think you know that back in Genesis 3, when Adam sinned and totally ruined God's original design for mankind, that God came up with a plan for mankind's redemption and salvation. And that was to provide a Savior, a Redeemer. And when you read in the Old Testament, there are many, many references to the coming Savior, the Christ, the Messiah. However, a very important part of God's plan He kept hidden. It was a secret. No one knew about it. And in fact, we'll read it in a few minutes, but the scriptures tell us that if the devil had known about God's plan, he never would have crucified Jesus Christ. So no one knew about this secret that God had until it was first revealed to the Apostle Paul. And it's called in the New Testament the mystery. Called a mystery because it was a secret. But since the mystery's been revealed, it doesn't need to be a secret anymore. It's a revealed mystery. Since the day of Pentecost, the times that we're living in now are referred to in Scripture as the administration of the grace of God and also the administration of the mystery. So in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word." The word dispensation, many of you know that that's the word oikonomia. It's translated sometimes dispensation, it's translated fellowship. It's most accurately translated, and should be translated, administration. It refers to the stewardship of a household, an administrator of a household. And so here it's more accurately translated the administration of the grace of God. Verse 3 says, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." We'll read those few words in a few minutes. But Paul knew about this mystery because God revealed it to him, told him about it. Whereby, verse 4 is really great, "whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery," or regarding the mystery of Christ, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit," by way of the revelation manifestations. It wasn't known, but now it is being revealed. If you would keep your finger here and go to back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, back a ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I mentioned this a couple minutes ago, so we'll just read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect," or initiated ones, mature ones, "yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery," or regarding the mystery. even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which, verse 8, none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't that awesome? My goodness. It must be really, really big if God kept it a secret. It must be really, really big that if the adversary knew about it, he would have never had Jesus Christ crucified. Must be. Go back to Ephesians now. And we were reading there in verse 3, as I wrote a four and few words. So let's back up to chapter 2 and read some of those things that he wrote. You know, chapter 1 of Ephesians is just so awesome, that talking about God's counsel and how he determined to do all that he did for those who would be born again by his own counsel, by his own decision, that we could be not just born again, but have all spiritual blessings, have forgiveness of sins, have redemption. And then chapter 2 starts off by telling us that we're saved by grace, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's all by God's grace. And in verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. This epistle was first sent to the city of Ephesus to born-again believers who came from a Gentile background. They were Gentiles, not of Israel. And that's important to remember, that this was sent to believers who came from a Gentile background. You're, I'm sure, aware of that in the Old Testament, God chose one group of people to be their God. It was his decision. And the people God chose to be their God were the descendants of Abraham, and often referred to as the children of Israel. The reason they're called the children of Israel is because Abraham's grandson was Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So all of his descendants, the children of Israel. You got Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. So that's why they're referred to as the children of Israel. They were God's chosen people, period. He was their God, not everybody else's God. That's who he picked. And he made covenants with them, made promises to them. The Savior was going to come from Israel, for Israel. And of course, when they trusted God and didn't go worshiping stones and sticks, he took great care of them. Honored all of his promises, protected them, healed them, prospered them. And when they went the other way and turned their back on him, it was like, I don't know what you're doing, but you kind of left me out of the picture. But that's important to remember, especially when we talk about the mystery, that they were God's chosen people. The Gentiles were not. And so Gentiles, sometimes the word means nations. So, in the Old Testament, you had two groups of people. God's chosen people, the children of Israel, the special ones, the privileged people, and then everybody else, Gentiles. And if you're familiar with the Old Testament, God's people were not to have anything to do with the Gentiles, period. Especially don't marry, don't give your daughter to go marry some Gentile guy. Or your son go marry a Gentile. Don't have anything to do with them. And if there were Gentiles who wanted to be with the children of Israel and worship the real true God, they could, proselytes, but they didn't have all the benefits. So that's verse 11 again. Remember that in time past, you were Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision. You know, the Jews got circumcised, so that's why they were called the circumcision. Verse 12, that at that time, You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where they were, no hope, because the Savior was promised to who? Israel. That's who the Savior was promised to. Remember, Jesus Christ said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When Jesus sent out the 12 in the 70s, he said, don't go to the Gentiles, you go to God's people, Israel. So that's why it says here, you were without hope, without Christ. And then, don't you like the first word of verse 13? But, that was then, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ, by Christ's sacrifice, his death, resurrection, and ascension. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That's pretty cool. Now again, he's writing to the Gentile believers. This is revolutionary. That, yeah, you guys are included in this. Us? Yes. Jew and Gentile one? Whoever heard of such a thing? And where it says broken down the middle wall of partition, that's the division between Jew and Gentile. There was a division. We are the chosen people. You are everybody else. Everybody else. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, of two, Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God. Jesus Christ was to be the Savior, the Redeemer, to repair what Adam had totally screwed up, to reconcile man back to God. And here it's to reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body. Oh my goodness. By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace unto you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Boy, one body, both Jew and Gentile, to be in one group, one body. And the peace with God that Jesus Christ accomplished by his death and resurrection, that peace with God is now available to whoever gets born again, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, both. And then verse 18. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Both Jew and Gentile have direct access to the Father by way of the Spirit of God that we have in us, both of us. That one Spirit that God gave us. And as you know, when a person gets born again, they receive God's Spirit in them, Holy Spirit. Every born again one receives God's Spirit along with the ability to operate the Spirit of God. What good is it to have the Spirit if we don't operate it? One Spirit again, verse 18. Through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Everyone receives the same Spirit. There's not a separate Spirit for Gentile believers and a separate Spirit for Israel, the Jews. Nope. The same Spirit, no difference. There's not a separate Spirit for male, female, not a separate Spirit for Americans and Europeans. Same Spirit. Everybody gets the same Spirit. We have access by one Spirit. It's one, just one Spirit that God pours out when a person gets born again. Verse 19. Now, therefore, guess what? Because of all this, you, referring to Gentile believers, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Because of the completed work of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Gentiles who get born again are no longer strangers. They're in the household. We all have a household, right? We used to have a bigger household here because there's a couple of kids running around. So now it's just Kathy and I, but that's our household. And you have a household. Can a complete stranger just walk into your house, go into the fridge? Yeah, I thought I'd make me a sandwich. No, you don't belong here, you know? If you're hungry, I might give you something. You can't just walk into my house and, well, I'm gonna sleep here tonight. No, you're not. This is not your house. We understand that, right? That's where Gentiles were before the day of Pentecost. This is what God kept secret, that they were going to be part of it. So now you're no more strangers, but you're a part of the household. You belong. Go make you a sandwich. It's great. Hang out, jump in the pool, whatever you want to do. You're part of the family now. And they're no longer foreigners, but citizens. If I was to leave now and just go move to Italy, I would not have the benefits of citizenship in that country, right? Foreigners aren't supposed to have the benefits of citizenship. We can understand that, right? But that's where the Gentiles were. You are foreigners. You're aliens. You don't have any rights. But now you do, fellow citizens. This is just amazing. And are built upon, verse 20, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. When Adam sinned, he lost the Spirit of God. It was gone. And God put a plan in motion to redeem mankind so that mankind, human beings, could once again have the Spirit of God, because that was his original intention, that we be body, soul, and spirit. Every born-again believer, we're all builded together, and it's a habitation of God. How? By way of the Spirit that is in us, in each one of us. Whether we're Jew or Gentile, we all receive the same Spirit. And then we keep reading chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of God, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And then here it is in one sentence, the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the mystery. Gentiles, fellow heirs, meaning joint heirs or heirs together of the same body, meaning joint members of the same body. And then partakers of the promises, that's joint partakers of God's promises, what was promised concerning Christ. And then it says, see the very end of that verse, it says, by the gospel. The gospel in the New Testament is the good news or the joyful proclamation of God's Son, Jesus Christ, of all that he accomplished. That's the good news. That's the joyful proclamation of God's wonderful Son. Fellow heirs, same body, joint partakers of all the promises. This is for the Gentiles. This is the mystery. And I'll be very honest with you. the very first time I heard this, which some of you had the PFAL class, some of you may have had the Walking in God's Power foundational class, but the very first time I heard it, it's like, here's the mystery. We read verse 6, and I'm like, okay. It just didn't seem that big to me. I knew it was supposed to, because just where the way the teaching was going. Here it is, had the devil known, he would have never cru- if the devil had known this, okay. Gentiles are going to be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise. Okay, that's big, I guess. I don't know. I didn't see it. It just, well, first of all, I'm not from a Jewish background. And as you know from reading the book of Acts, those of Israel, children of Israel, the Jews, in the first century had a major problem with this. They're like, no, no, this cannot be. We are the chosen people. It's all through the Old Testament. We are God's people. They are dogs. Remember, you weren't even supposed to eat with them, right? Remember when the Gentile woman, the Syrophoenician woman, was asking Jesus to help her daughter? And Jesus Christ said, it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. Can you imagine Jesus Christ saying that? That's what he said. And she went, you're right. But dogs do get to eat some of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He went, amen. And her daughter got blessed. So the thing about the mystery, it is huge. And it takes some maturity to grasp just how big it is. As you continue to grow in God's word, the bigger the mystery really is in your understanding. You just, you know, but for the, and that's why it's, you know, when Paul went to Corinth, he said, I didn't share the mystery with you. They weren't ready for it. They needed to grow a little bit. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 3. So he went there, spent some time with them, then wrote a letter and said, you know, you guys are still carnal. You guys are still just, you know, and 1 Corinthians is a long epistle of reproof, 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 reproof. look at Romans 16. As we grow in God's word, it's right at the end of the book of Romans, last chapter. As we grow in God's word, we understand to an even greater degree how big this mystery is. And so in Romans chapter 16, right at the end of that chapter, verse 25, this is how he ended the chapter in Romans. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's the gospel that God gave him, the gospel of God concerning his son Jesus Christ, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now, it's no longer a secret, is manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations. That's right. God has this great plan for everybody to get saved. In Colossians chapter 1, probably a familiar verse, Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 25, Colossians 1, 25, it says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations. But now, it was hidden, it was a secret, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Every born-again believer has the Spirit of God in them. It's referred to a number of different ways in the church epistles, the new man, the inner man. And here, that wonderful gift of Holy Spirit is referred to as Christ in you, the hope of glory. This great gift of Holy Spirit that we have inside, this verse tells us, it's the riches of the glory of the mystery. That's pretty big. The riches of the glory of the mystery. If God kept this mystery a secret, it must be really, really big. And must be really, really important. And if the gift of Holy Spirit is the riches of the glory of the mystery, then that Spirit that we have must be a really big deal. It must be a big deal for us to understand what is this Spirit that I have in me, and it must be a really big deal to operate the Spirit of God that's in us. It's the riches of the glory of the mystery. It's the, I don't know, the big frosting cover on it or something, big cherry on top. The riches of the glory of the mystery. So, had the devil known what was coming, not just that, because there's plenty of scripture, obviously the adversary knew there was a Redeemer coming, knew that God planned to have a Savior come. That wasn't a secret. That's all through the Old Testament. But had he known that God's plan was not just to have one nation be his people and bring a Savior, a Messiah, to redeem them. But had he known that God planned to have believers from every nation on earth, all over the world, and that every one of those believers would be heirs together of the same body and partakers of all the promises, and that every one of those believers would have God's Spirit in them, the riches of the glory of the mystery, that they would be able to operate. If he'd have known that was coming, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Glad God can keep a good secret, huh? Some people can't, but he sure did. So if the mystery was that big of a deal, that our adversary, the devil, wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory, how important that mystery must be to our God, right? And what about us? What about us? And as I mentioned before, the more we grow in God's Word and our understanding of God's Word, the bigger we see how great that mystery is. And Ephesians starts a section in God's Word, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Romans section is Romans, Corinthians, Galatians. Romans is the starting point. It's the foundation. And the more we gain understanding of the Romans section, then we get to the Ephesians section that really displays the greatness of the mystery. And that's why, you know, I thought when I was planning to teach chapter 4 of Ephesians, I thought, let's just review the mystery, you know, kind of get a little background fresh in our minds just to kind of review it. And we're going to close by going back to Ephesians 3. We're just going to read it, the whole chapter. Ephesians 3. And then we'll be all ready for chapter 4 next week, because it is gorgeous. It's just awesome. Even though the adversary didn't know what was coming, ever since God brought it to pass, our adversary has and continues to make sure people don't know about the mystery and don't understand it. I'm pretty convinced if you ask a Christian, do you know the mystery? There'll be a lot of people that go, what mystery? And yet look how big of a deal it is in God's Word. something God kept hidden, and then here we are. But God had his word written so that we could know and understand it. Chapter 3, Ephesians. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, or pertaining to Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and that the Gentiles should be the same body, and Gentiles are partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, by the good news concerning God's Son, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the, should be administration. It's that same word that was in verse 2. To make all men see, to make all people see what is the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things, period. By Jesus Christ is not in the Greek text. To the intent, verse 10, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Don't faint about the stuff that I'm going through. And, you know, we see that come up in the scriptures. Paul didn't want that. He's writing this from prison. This thing, that's amazing anyway when you think about it. Could have died on the ship, that typhoon that you read about in Acts. He didn't. Could have quit when he disobeyed God and got arrested and could have condemned himself. But here he is in prison, and God gave him this fantastic revelation of Ephesians. So don't faint at my tribulations. Paul didn't want people to feel all bad about him. Oh, he's in prison. Don't feel bad about him. And don't start getting into superstition. Well, maybe he was so out of fellowship, that's why he's in prison. Verse 13, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And this is his prayer, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him, our God, that is able. We sang that song today, didn't we? I think, Dave, you even quoted the verse, didn't you? Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Well, what power is it that works in us? The Spirit of God in us. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The mystery. It's really huge. And this chapter 3 in Ephesians completes the doctrinal side of this epistle. Chapters 4 through 6 give the practical application. I was talking with Kathy the other day, and it was like, what was it like to get one of these letters from Paul? You know, first time. You know, hey, we just got this pretty long epistle from Paul. Wow. You and I, we write a letter to somebody, hey, God bless, how you doing? You know, weather's hot here, and hey, here's a couple of verses that I really got blessed with, and God bless you, see you later. This is deep, deep. You know, when they first got it. And then, as you know, the purpose of these epistles was to circulate them to the churches around the areas. Wow, this must have been great when they got that. So, chapter 4 begins the practical application, and that's what we'll be next Sunday, unless we get gathered. And if we do, this administration we leave behind, and we're into a new administration where we see him face to face. Father God, thanks for your wonderful word. Thank you for having this written so that, Father, we could know about this great mystery that you had. Thank you for keeping it so secret. And Father, we're so grateful for all our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accomplished for us by his complete obedience to you, being our wonderful Savior, our Redeemer, and Father, for you making the new birth so easy, and that it's open to anyone and everyone all over the world, and that we could receive your wonderful gift of Holy Spirit and be fellow heirs together with everybody else that's born again. That, Father, we're all part of this one body, and that we are all partakers of the promises in Christ. Thank you for how blessed we are. And, Father, thank you again for your wonderful word. I pray for every person that's here in this room, for those on the hookup as well, and for anyone that'll hear the recording later. Thank you, God, for being our wonderful, loving God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.